and seeing where the Lord has brought me from and where He has brought me to today, seeing the transformation that God has done in my life has blown me away, really blown me away.
Shtaigute! Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear the final part of Eric Sinclair's story. Eric is an Ojibwe from Kenora, Ontario, who once considered suicide, but now, because of his relationship with God, has found a reason to live.
We had lunch there, and then Dave, he started driving us home. There was a few of us, like I said, and he would drive around, drop people off, and I asked him if he can drop me off last, because I was really thinking about this decision that I had just made that night before. And so he dropped me off last, and we sat there in the driveway, and we talked for a bit, and then I worked up the courage and said, how do I become a Christian? I already knew how to become a Christian. I knew that right from when I was a kid, but I wanted someone there this time to witness it, someone to share my faith with. When I asked Jesus to be my Savior when I was 18, was my, I guess, the time when I had really trusted in God as my Savior. But when I fell back into the world, started living the party life again, it was like I accepted Jesus as my Savior, but He wasn't my boss. He wasn't my Lord. He wasn't the one that I was fully trusting in. And then, as time went on, and as my life just seemed to get worse, when Dave Martin came around and he came over to my house, that was a time when I had recommitted my life. I needed to make that commitment that God, you are my director. You are my boss, and I want to live my life fully and completely for you. And we prayed, and then Dave said, "Could I come back? Can I bring another missionary friend, and can we come and pray with you and just talk with you?" And I said, "Yeah." And I don't remember whose idea it was, but I just remember wanting to take all the stuff that I had in my home, the stuff that I knew displeased the Lord, the stuff that I knew that God didn't want in my life anymore. And there were magazines and tapes and just stuff that I knew I needed to get rid of, and I asked them if they can come back and we can have a bonfire in my backyard, and they did that. They came back that evening. We had a pile of stuff there, and we burned it, and we stood there, the three of us men, and we watched the stuff burn, and we prayed. They prayed for me, and just at that moment, my cousin comes up in a taxi, and he was drunk, and he asked what we were doing, and it was at that moment where I needed to stand for my faith already. And it happened like that for a while, that I needed to stand for my decision. I needed to speak the truth and tell them, I don't do that stuff anymore. I don't live that life anymore. I'm living a new life. I'm walking with God. And it was hard. It was hard because I felt more alone than ever being a Christian on that reserve. But yet I felt the presence of God in the midst of that, and His encouraging me through His word, through the Bible, and through Christian fellowship, and also through music. And that plays a big part in my life today. Me and my wife, sing gospel music and we travel around. When God sent his son down to earth, that must have been awful. Here God is up in heaven, enjoying his glory, his splendor up there. The Bible says that there are angels up there that God has created, and what they do is they worship him. They just worship him forever and ever. And he's outside of time. Like he's not stuck in our time box. He's up there and he's beautiful. And here we are down on earth, living in our sin and, dirty and wretched. And the plan to win us back to himself, to save us from our own sin, from our own wretchedness, was he was to send his only son to come and to be born here on earth and to grow up surrounded by our wretchedness, our sinfulness. And I think about that, and that was a big sacrifice to make, to come down from where he was down to our level and to live among us and to walk with us and to talk and call people to himself. And here Jesus had no place, well, in his 3 years of ministry anyway, it says in the Bible that he had no place to lay his head. It seemed like he was a wanderer and alone, and only he knew, only Jesus knew the experience of heaven. And here he had to come down and live among us and then to take on the sin of man. Like the Bible says that he was nailed to that cross and that he took on the sin of the world. He took on our sin. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's almost like he clothed himself in our sin while he died on that cross, and our sin died with him on that cross. And then they took him down, they put him in that tomb, and he came back to life. 3 days later, he came back to life. And that is a beautiful picture of the transformation of a person from sin to death, to life. That's the only way of salvation, is by really trusting in what he did, and that is to come and die for us and then to come back to life. And we can really trust in that. As believers, as Christians, we can really lean on that, that's how God has won us back to himself, is by sending his son to die for us. He wants us to come to him genuinely, like he wants us to come to him not being forced, but yet we do have only one life given to us. You're either a follower of Jesus or you're not. And for those who don't accept Jesus as their savior, in the end, at the end of their life, they will have to go to hell. Like it's just, that's just the way the Bible teaches it. It's heaven or hell. And, the gospel it means good news. And, when we hear good news, there's something lifted off of us, a load. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to save us from that penalty of hell. And that when we accept Jesus as our savior, and he saves us from that, and we can look forward to heaven, to the everlasting fellowship with God in heaven. But going back, the Lord called me to Bible school. I wanted to learn, and I wanted to be somewhere where I could learn, learn a lot of Bible, I guess. And then, and I heard about the Kuwaitan Bible Institute. And, 1998, well, I came to the Lord in 96, and then in 1998, I came and checked out their youth retreat that they have here every year. And, I wanted to see if this was the Bible school for me, and I came and I met, native Christian people, people my age, who were living a different life, living, the Christian life. And I, eventually, enrolled to the Bible school here and graduated, met my wife here. And, it's neat how God has really, changed my life, in my obedience to Him. We were just recently at a church this past weekend singing together, me and my wife, and it just dawned on me that I, being a person thinking back to my life, my teenage life, way back then, here I was a teenager who had shut the world off, who had locked himself in his room and just shut the world off, and didn't want anything to do with anybody. And then eventually the Lord, I guess in a sense, came into my room and started, I don't know, calling me into a life lived for Him. And seeing where the Lord has brought me from and where He has brought me to, today, seeing the transformation that God has done in my life has blown me away, really blown me away. And I look forward to what God has in the future for me and my family. I look forward with excitement.
What God is doing in Eric's life is something that He's doing in his family all over the world. You see, when we become God's child through faith in Jesus Christ, He begins a work in us that will continue until the day He brings us home to Himself. He tells us in His Word, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." My friend, has God made you a new creation? Can you say with confidence that He is transforming you? If not, why don't you humble yourself? Turn to Him and put your trust in the one He sent to save you. Why don't you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Want to know more? Visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.